Galatians chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and we're going to be looking at a message that I've entitled, The Law of Christ in the Church. The Law of Christ in the Church. Galatians chapter 6, I'll give you a second to get there, and I'll go ahead and read the passage, and then continue with prayer and then an introduction for the message today. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Ethan, I don't have the clicker this morning up here, so if you guys just either bring that up or advance the slides when needed, that'd be great. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, I'll go ahead and read this passage. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And God, that we have been able to observe the Lord's Supper this morning, remembering and proclaiming the Lord's death. And now, Lord, looking into your word, needing to be fed. Lord, we've fed ourselves in a sense, spiritually. Lord, we need to be physically, rather, but Lord, we need to be fed spiritually from your word. And I pray, dear God, that you would use your word and accomplish that purpose for which you intend it today as it goes out. Bless it to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2020 is in the books, as Tanner mentioned earlier, and we're glad of it. It's been a year like no other. It's been a year of quarantines, riotings, and vaccines. Good riddance to 2020, maybe some of our attitude. And, you know, as 2020 is coming, has come, and we are have begun it already, for us folks from Alabama, things are already off on a better foot because Alabama's back in the national championship game, right? Last year, they didn't even make the college football playoff. So everything seems to be just a little bit better this year already because of that. Now, I'm not throwing any shade at any other teams who didn't make it there, all right? Just the fact that us Alabamians are quite used to Alabama being there. As we go into 2021, though, there's something that we're not going to be able to say goodbye to. There's something that's going to follow us there, and it's going to follow us every year after that. And that is our need for the law of Christ in the church. The law of Christ in the church to be observed. Why? Because we're all going to continue to struggle in sin. There's the potential for all of us to become entangled in sin, and we need this law of Christ. Now, you might ask the question, what is the law of Christ? I've alluded to this only once before, I think, in previous messages. I think the hymn writer maybe most clearly tells us what the law of Christ is. And Oh Holy Night, I think we sang it last Sunday morning. He says he taught us, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. And if you, there are different views on the law of Christ and what exactly it is, but it does seem in the context of Galatians 6 that this law of Christ, and including what Jesus has said about love before, the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment, love the Lord your God, and then the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And then how he told his disciples to love one another. The very great importance of that. The law of Christ, we will conclude then from this brief explanation, is that it is the law of love. as we go into this year, I hope we'll remember that church ministry must have the law of Christ in it. And that perhaps looks like three different things from this text that I'll share with you this morning. In verse 1 of chapter 6, we'll see the first one, that's ministry involves restoration. Now, what do we mean by that? You may have restored something in your day. You may have restored a vehicle, a car or a truck or a motorcycle. You may have restored a four-wheeler, an ATV. You may have restored furniture. You may have restored a home. That doesn't mean that you remodeled it. It means that you restored it to its original form to make it as much like it was supposed to be originally. So as we look at verse 1, we'll see here that he talks about restoration. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So there's a few things that we should look at here. And I'm just going to work through this verse by asking the who, what, why, how questions. So the first one is who. You look at the first part of it, you see brethren. You see a man. If a man is overtaken, he says. Now, I don't want you ladies to be offended. Paul's was saying this, not trying to be politically correct as we think about it today. When he says brethren and a man, it would be maybe looked at in the same way as we see in other passages where the Bible would say that that God is the Savior of all men. So it doesn't mean he only saves men. It saves men, women, boys, and girls. He's writing to the church here. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass. So this is the what. He's overtaken in a trespass. Overtaken is a word, actually same idea that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where some were going to the table before others had the opportunity to. It means to take in advance. It means to eat before others have the opportunity. That's what the word overtaken means there in verse 6. And then he says that he's overtaken in any trespass. Trespass means to sideslip, to have a false step, to fall away. I think of this when I was at my in-law's house a couple of years ago during the winter. I walked out the back door early one morning when there was still a nice coat of frost on the back porch. And I stepped out onto that back porch and took maybe half of a step. And before I knew it, I was laying flat on my back, just like that. And thankfully, I was able to get up and didn't hit my head on anything. But that was a false step. That was a side slip. And it's certainly something that I was overtaken by. Here he's given this instruction to the church that brethren, that men, that people in the church will be overtaken in trespasses. This is different than what he talks about in the works of the flesh in chapter 5. In chapter 5, where he talks about the works of the flesh, he's talking about those who are practicing those things continually. What he deals with here is sin that we are overtaken by. It's not something we are continually practicing. Now, it could be perhaps any of those things that are found in the list of chapter 5, 19 and 20. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and on and on. Those things, we may be tempted by them and a brother may fall into it, but it's not the idea of continuing to practice this that he's dealing with here. Maybe he's wanting to, when a brother falls into a sin, what we are to do is to restore them so that they do not continue down that pattern, down that path. So he's overtaken in a trespass. We can think about Cain before he killed his brother Abel. The Bible says that sin is crouching. I think the King James uses the word crouching, which I really like in that. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin is waiting for you. Its desire is for you, he says, but you should rule over it. Think about 2021. As we advance through this year, And as the Galatians, during their time, the churches there, they would have had sin waiting for them. And perhaps we all have sin waiting for us in 2021, desiring for us to overtake us. And if that happens, when that happens, though God forbid that it would for any of us, but if it happens, what is the remedy for it? How does the church play into that? He continues to tell us here, you who are spiritual, we'll simply say you who are walking in the Spirit, you who are bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The word restore, here's a word that means to put back into joint something that's out of joint, something that is lame, bring it back into completion. I thought about a football player that I recently saw whose shoulder was knocked out of joint during a play, and the trainer, when they were over on the sideline, the trainer went over there and moved that shoulder around and popped it back into joint. It was out of joint. It wasn't able to work as it needed to, as most effectively, and that trainer got it back into joint, and the player was able to get back into the ball game. So what he's calling for the church to do here is a ministry of restoration. And how that happens is found at the end of the verse. Restore such a one, how? In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The gentleness here is the same word that's used of the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, verse 23. Gentleness, self-control. It's that idea of meekness. We see here the fruit of the Spirit being displayed. Now, I'd ask you to go back and look at the fruit of the Spirit and consider it in light of chapter 6, verse 1. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Restore them in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, when you have someone come to you to restore you, to point out sin in your life, you would want them to come with the fruit of the Spirit, wouldn't you? In love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the idea, isn't it? You don't mind somebody coming to you so much if they come with that spirit about them. And Paul is saying here, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself. Why do we consider ourselves? Because we know that we might be the person the next week who needs to be restored. Right? We all understand how prone we are to wander. We understand the inclination of our hearts toward wickedness. So, we come to a brother, not as someone who is superior, but as a beggar telling another beggar where to get food. Because we know how much we need the grace of God ourselves. I have a couple of verses up on the board. Romans 15, verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So think about this year and your responsibility in that. Can this be said of you? Let's look at the next verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Okay, we took the Lord's Supper a little while ago. Do y'all remember, we are all what in Christ? We are all one. Okay? So as we consider ourselves and consider these scriptures, are we okay with part of the body being limp and lame and being dislocated? So as we think about the church in those terms, we should not be okay with that. Just like you would not be okay with a part of your body not working correctly. Let's go to the next part. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. "Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Sometimes we think about when it comes to maybe pointing out sin in one another's lives, rebuking one another in the spirit of gentleness like the Scripture talks about, we maybe think, I don't want to be mean, I don't want to be unloving towards someone to point something like that out. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture tells us an open rebuke is better, and that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let's go to the next point. Next point is found in verse 2. Ministry involves burden bearing. Verse 2, Paul writes to them and says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now the burden here is a weight, it's a load, it's an abundance, having a whole lot on you. It's not necessarily referring just to verse 1. However, it would probably include verse 1 in what a brother or sister is dealing with and being overtaken by a trespass, but it doesn't have to stop there. So it's any abundance of responsibility or load we find ourselves under that is more than we can bear. Burden bearing is how we fulfill the law of Christ. So if that law of Christ, as I suggested to you earlier from verse 2, is love, if it is loving one another like verse 13 of chapter 5 says, and verse 14 of chapter 5, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We should through love serve one another. Paul has said elsewhere that all the law is fulfilled in this, that you love one another. Then burden bearing is part of us obeying the law of Christ. When we think about what has been born on our behalf, that should motivate us and compel us to bear one another's burdens. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says about Jesus that He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. See, most churches do well at helping to meet physical needs within the body by providing meals and assistance when there is known needs. But unfortunately, churches are more likely not to get into issues of sin in another person's life. What keeps us from this? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's energy. Maybe it's the time. Maybe it's investment that is required. Perhaps it's guilt in the person's life. Perhaps it's personal sin. Maybe they know that they have a beam in their own eye and they refuse to get rid of it so that they can remove the speck from their brother's eye. It's just too much involved in it. So just like restoring something, whether it's a car or a piece of furniture, or a home. Just like that takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort and time and commitment to be willing to restore one another and to be able to bear one another's burdens. John 13:35, Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. Point number three is this. Ministry involves self-examination, verses 3 through 5. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Okay, verses 3 through 5. Bring us to this idea, this truth that ministry involves self-examination. Ministry in 2021 here at New Life will likely involve restoration. It will most likely involve and should involve burden bearing, bearing one another's burdens. And the last thing that ministry, effective ministry in 2021 must involve is self-examination. That means as we are bearing one another's burdens, as we are seeking to restore a brother or sister in Christ, then we must do so examining ourselves. Paul lays that out here very clearly for us in verses 3 through 5. In another place, Jesus said this, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This load that is mentioned here in verse 5 is a word that means task or service. It's a different word than the word for burden that's found earlier. It's not this immense load that a person is carrying and trying to handle, but in verse 5, load there is task or service. It's that which we have been given by the Lord to do. It's what we are responsible for before our Lord and Master. So while we bear others' burdens, we don't compare ourselves with them and somehow develop an overinflated view of ourselves, but we maintain the attitude of a faithful servant. Let me share with you what that attitude is. Matter of fact, would you turn there in Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. Luke 17, 5 through 10. Luke 17, 5 through 10. This is a great little passage to remember as we begin this year of ministry together. Luke 17, 5 through 10. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now notice what Jesus says about increasing faith. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty, our load, our task or service. We've done what was our duty to do. You may have the question today, man, I want my faith to be increased in 2020. Okay? Do what Jesus said. Serve. You see that? Serve and keep the attitude that I'm an unprofitable servant. Galatians 6, we'll flip back over there. So, verses 3 through 5, I just want us to see this, that Paul is, make sure that we understand that Paul is calling us as we serve to have a ministry that involves self-examination, knowing that we've been given tasks to do. We don't find glory in another person's task or because we helped another person carry their particular burden, but we bear our own burden for one another. Let's go to our points of application today. Conclusions for practical application. Number one is this. The church is called to burden-bearing brotherhood. All right? The church, every one of us, if you're in Christ, a part of this congregation, you, this is talking about you are called to burden-bearing brotherhood. It's what the New Testament calls us to. And I want you to think for what sort of state we would be in if Jesus did not want to have to put forth the effort to get involved in our lives. We would not have a Savior because it took a man, a perfectly righteous man, willing to take our messy lives of sin and make them his own as he who knew no sin became sin for us to redeem us from those lives. So the Scripture's calling us to that. Number two is this. This one's really practical. Use the church directory to get started. Y'all ever received an email from me that says, look over the church directory and reach out to people that you haven't seen in a while? Anybody ever received one of those emails? I'm not going to ask how many of you have done it. Okay? But when I send something like that out, it's for real, folks. I'm not I'm not just feeling like typing that day and want to type out an email and send it to you. This is a real thing. It's youth. It's anyone in the part of the body. You can pull that directory up, look over it, prayerfully look over it, and you can say, hey, those folks hadn't been here a while. I wonder what's going on with them. And you can call them. They may be perfectly fine. They're just quarantining, trying to stay away from all of y'all so they don't get any coronavirus or anything from you, any germs. They might just be staying away for that reason. But you don't know that. Okay? And until you reach out to them, you don't know it. There might be a burden that they are bearing that is keeping them from being here, and you might be the one who needs to get under that burden with them and help them carry it. They might be in a place of sin, falling into wrong thinking, anxiety and worry and depression and things going on in their lives, and they need help with that. And it might be you who is supposed to be reaching out to them. So use the church directory. That's real practical. Because why? We want to obey the law of Christ. Number three, take the law of Christ seriously. You see, that love, if it is the law of love, then that love ought to cause us to be a little bit nosy in each other's lives. You know, to nudge in there a little bit and ask some questions that might be a little bit uncomfortable. To stop talking about just things that are surface level like we maybe do too often and get a little bit deeper in our conversations. What have you been reading lately in God's Word? What's the Lord been teaching you from God's Word? Is there sin that needs to be confessed in your life? Us talking to one another in those ways. And truly getting to know one another. We got to be a little bit nosy if we're going to love one another. I tell you what, a parent who loves their child is going to be nosy in their lives, right? You're going to be, especially teenagers, you got to be a little bit nosy with them. Find out what's going on. So we want to love one another. If there's that which is lame, then we want it to be restored. If there is a burden that's being borne by a person that's too much for them, we want to be a part of that and help them with it. Now, I don't know how all of that will work out and how all of it should. Because I feel like as a church that we, and I know there are cases where we have failed one another. And I have failed you. We have failed one another. The thing about the church is, and we can go to the last point, be equipped by the Bible, is that it doesn't all fall on the elders or the deacons. Ministry is something all of us do. The elders are to equip you for the work of ministry. And then we minister to one another. I'm not saying we don't do it, because a lot of you do a great job, and we, as a church, do a pretty good job of ministering to one another. But we can do better. So we can be equipped by the Bible as we go into this next year. And in this, I just want to make a few points here, and I'm done. I want to encourage you to make the Bible a priority in your life this year. Read it, meditate on it, study it, and share it. The Word of God can be stolen away from our hearts real quickly. So in order for us to keep that there, and how does it get stolen? Satan steals it according to what the Gospels tell us and what Jesus said. How does he do that? How does he steal it away quickly? Through video games and TV and sports and Facebook and social media and internet and news and hobbies and family and jobs and pursuits. Because we quickly leave the Bible and what we just read, and we quickly get to the things that we're really interested in. And Jesus is calling us to read the Bible, meditate on it, study it, and share it is what the Word of God is calling us to. Share something that you read with someone once a week. Discipline yourself to use the paper copy of the Bible. You use your phone for buying stuff off Amazon, filling your cart at Walmart for your pickup order, paying your bills every week. You check your news, you check your ESPN, you do your phones, use your phones for all sorts of things. In 2021, pull out the paper copy of the Bible, crack it open, and get familiar with those pages again. See it all on those pages and learn from God's Word. Do something fresh this year. Go to the Bible expecting to behold wondrous things from His Word. Don't check your brain at the cover of the Bible. Do not let affliction and trials keep you from the Word, but know that these are meant to help you understand it. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word, keep your law. And pray the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth by revealing the mind of Christ to you. Read, meditate, study, share the word of God. You know, I cannot think of any good reason why every adult and most non-adults that go to church here cannot at least read through the New Testament this year. One chapter a day, 5 days a week, take the weekends off. By the end of a year, you've read the whole New Testament. There's no reason why we can't at least do that. Why? Because we want to be equipped to love one another. You understand? It's not just about us. We want to be able to love one another with the Word of God when we deal with burdens and sin in our lives. Why do we do all that? Because Christ Jesus bore our sins in Himself, on Himself, on the tree. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As you take a moment to pray, I want to ask you to maybe think about this passage this morning and what the Word of God is calling us to as a church. And maybe you need to recommit yourself to this morning. I think we all need to recommit ourselves afresh this year to restoration of believers who have become disjointed spiritually, to burden-bearing brotherhood, and to obeying the law of Christ. So I'd ask you to take a moment. Maybe if you realize you haven't been doing this, confess that sin, recommit yourself to the Lord this morning right there where you are. And if there are those of you who know that though Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree, and you've rejected that sacrifice that He has given on our behalf, and today for the first time you need to believe that you are believing the gospel and you need to confess Christ publicly, then we admonish you, encourage you to obey the Lord. Father God, I thank You that You remember us in our pitiful frame, God, and You have mercy on us, that You are mindful of us. I thank You for sending Your Son to die for our sins, and Lord, that You call the church to ministry to one another through the law of Christ. Lord God, I just pray that Lord, each of us would respond to Your word appropriately today, believing it and obeying it in Jesus' name.